Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Inspired Evolution, and it is such a treat to be here today. I have with me Gautam Khetrapa. Gautam, how are you, brother?
Oh man, with this initial explosion, now I'm much better than I was 10 seconds ago.
Morning! Right, for those tuning in to Gautam for the first time, I am surprised that it is your first time tuning in to him. There are a couple of TED Talks out there that are definitely worth checking out on some really deep topics, but I will do him the honors. He's the founder of Life Plugin, right? In its own right, amazing stuff. And he's an international speaker in the transformational education space. He's spoken on stages such as Mindvalley with me, UNESCO, TEDx, Startup Investor Summit. His recent TEDx talk got over 7 million views. At the very heart of everything he's creating lies the playful, adventurous, and passionate energy that he really brings to the table. He loves teaching. He loves comedy. He loves personal growth. Building tribes is something that he is just... he's got a knack for it, if I can just say so myself. His mission is to turn learning and education into something intrinsically motivating, and he's got a lifelong adventure to build a Disneyland of learning and education. I love the way he articulates that. Just this whole idea about basically, I think in a nutshell, I see you as a bit of a guinea pig. I see you bringing things that are, you know, like personal development-y, and there's all this personal growth stuff that continuously comes our way. With Life Plugin, you know, you go in, you implement a lot of these things in his own life, and then he calls this process life designing. His general philosophy is that life is important and we're meant to enjoy the short time that we have here. And he's dedicated to building a tribe of transformational enthusiasts around the world, facilitating powerful experiences and inspiring people to create truly exceptional lives for themselves. Sounds like an inspired evolution. Brother, it is such a treat to have you here.
Oh man, thank you. Yeah, it's weird listening to the bio that has been partly written by you, partly written by your team, spoken in front of you. So thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Some of that was written by me too.
Oh yeah? Okay. I can't even tell. Was it you? Was it Australia? Was it me?
I'm flattered. Executed it flawlessly by the sounds of it.
Yes. Yeah, it fits in perfectly. No, I really appreciate it, man. This is very beautiful. Thank you.
It's amazing. And I think it's healthy to, you know, just have that sometimes, you know, reflected back to you in terms of all the work that we put out into the world. And I especially understand that, you know, I really feel this kinship with, you know, your ethos of service, you know, and, you know, we can be serving and continuously. But there's also that, you know, sometimes it's important to receive some energy back and just realize that, you know, our service is being received.
Yes, sir.
So tell me, bro, let's go straight to the heart of it. Belonging. What a deep, deep, deep conversation to have. I could start, and just so for everyone tuning in, this is going to be a totally chop suey episode because Gautam and I know each other. So there will be some past experiences that we've interacted on that will probably bleed into this episode. But I'm really inspired to have him on. His recent TED talk about belonging really spoke to me. And he talks about the currency of belonging.
Yes. So where do I, well, I'll start with this, right? So the first, I sort of grew up in this environment where, you know, I grew up in India, like, you know, middle class family in India, like every decent Indian boy, I studied engineering, you know, and then, but by growing up, one of the, I think the most powerful thing was I grew up in a community. It's not extremely affluent family. I'm come from a very humble family. And what that meant was like every single festival, every single opportunity for us to come together, and which is when you're in India with a million gods to celebrate, there's a festival or an occasion to get together every single month, like a big one.
Yeah. And
so my entire life, I grew up, you know, having 30 family members over, my uncles, my aunts, my cousins, and I grew up in that environment. We'll come together, there's a lot of laughter and connections, and I grew up in that environment. And from a very early age, I learned as a default state that everybody has that. You take care of your own. These are the values that I grew up with. Like, you take care of your own, you support your family, and you come together. This is the source of biggest joy, enjoyment. You help each other grow. You take care of them. And, you know, to this day, like, my mom would call me and like, remind me to wish birthdays to 35 of the relatives that I haven't spoken to in the last 10 years. You know, the value of investing into relationships and taking care of them, it was so strong. And I believe I now reflect on it, and it's like, oh, okay, I had a happy childhood. And I think this is the environment that I grew up in. And then when I went to my university for the first time, I felt alone in my university. It didn't speak to me that well. I think the idea of education, which is a topic for another time, maybe. Mm. I spoke about it in my first TEDx talk. So I went there and I stumbled upon this organization while I was feeling lonely and not really connecting with my peers. I stumbled upon this organization called ISEC. It's the world's largest youth-run organization that aims to develop youth leadership. And if any of your audience members are in their university, and if they want a sure shot solution to absolutely change their life, that's the organization that they should go for. And if anyone has their kids in the university, that's the organization they should send their kids to. It's amazing. Absolutely changed my life. And some of the most incredible people, even in the personal growth industry, have some connections with that organization or have been alumni of that organization, like Vishen Lakhiani himself, right? So I joined that, and that completely changed my life. It was the first place in my entire life, like literally, that I truly felt that I belonged since I left my home. That's the place I felt that, oh, that's my home. And that's the kind of feeling I've been seeking all the time, recreating. And I moved along the journey. I moved from India to a few cities in India to the Philippines, and then to Malaysia, to now I live in Paris, and I'm moving to Barcelona next year. And I'm so great, right? I will talk about this in a second, why this is such a common story. But as I moved, I also started noticing, and you would have noticed this as well, the more developed a country, the lesser is the human connection in each country. Totally. Right? And then mental health issues are on the rise, the physical health issues are on the rise, the divorce rate, suicide rate, what is happening, right? I'm living in Paris, and literally, man, it's crazy. I didn't know this. And I found out while I was preparing for my last TEDx talk, one in five people in Paris are clinically depressed. That's bizarre. And that's more than any other city or state in the United States, by the way, that 21 point something percent in Paris, right? And this is the crazy part. An average person in a developed country can go through their entire day, or in some unfortunate cases, their entire life, just meeting strangers.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I feel, we're not designed for that. We know this already. Like, you and I, we've talked about this physically in the events that we've met together, right? We are, human beings are social animals. Like, our survival depends on our social bonding and social strength. As a species, we're not the strongest, right? We're not even the smartest species. The reason that makes human beings the most successful species on the planet is to do with our ability to collaborate and live together in communities. This is why now there are studies done on blue zones around the world, right? The Sardinia, Okinawa, Naples, Florida. There's a few other places in the world where people consistently live beyond the age of 100. And I know you know this. So I'm going to brush through this fact.
Oh, no, right? It's great. I love hearing it. Yeah.
Right? The number one factor correlating with human health and longevity has nothing to do with your food, not your jobs, nothing. The number one correlating factor is strength of your social connections, right? This is how powerful this principle is. And the problem is, in the name of our economic interest, we are going against this principle. And that's something I started noticing in my own life. That's why I started experimenting with this. I started, I created a business around this principle. And I gave a talk about it once. I put enough consciousness into it and I realized, this is something more people can get benefit from, because this is something that we're missing more and more in the world, right? So what we're doing right now is we are living in a world creating highly individualistic lifestyles for ourselves, right? We are moving from, we used to live in villages and tribes, and now we moved into cities in the name of our freedom. In villages and small communities, we didn't have much freedom. And for the first time in our entire life, we are a lot more free, but we are a lot more alone as well. I think Esther Perel talks about it really well, right? So this is the first time we're a lot more alone, and we are moving to cities in the name of building highly independent lifestyles. But the reality is that we are like, our success is not in our independence, which we fight for our independence all the time and live the American dream. And these are the things that I grew up getting influenced by. Yeah. But our success is not in our independence; it is in our interdependence. And I'm grateful because I grew up in an environment like in India. Then I lived in the Philippines and I experienced these things where the financial independence or success is not crazy. There's still a lot in these developing countries, but what you see more is the way they come together. And you will also notice these developing countries are also, funnily enough, have more festivals, and their festivals are more vibrant because old festivals, religions had nailed it. This is why it's the strongest community in the world. There are so many principles and frameworks that we can learn from religion. One of them is festivals. Yeah. Right? The way they do festivals is, and this is what I do with our modern age festivals. I run a festival. Is the same principle. You bring a community that believes in the same stories, believes in the same values, have the same core interests and principles. You bring them together for a short period of time, and you reinforce the story and shared myths, and religion do the shared myths and the stories of the tribe. And you have a lot of fun. You create a lot of aha moments, sense of awe and inspiration, and you create a lot of lasting memories. Yeah. Right? When that happens, the community is so much together. Like, even after the festival is over, the sense of connection is much stronger. Love. The sense of belonging is much stronger, right? So this is the principle I look the entire world through. Like, this is, to me, this is the lens through which I look at everything, even business, right? And you have to stop me wherever in a different tangent, because this is free flowing, right?
I love it.
Think about like, you and I are in the knowledge business, right? Teaching business. And there's something interesting. At the advent of internet, say about 1980s, before the advent of internet, what we had was our information was contained by our local media. And we wouldn't have as much control. And our information was very, very limited. And it was controlled by local media. And then the internet came, and then boom. Like, we had immediately access to information from all over the world.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And suddenly it is like, we can learn from so many different communities, so many different parts of the world. The world was getting more connected.
Yep.
By 1990s, what started to happen, the information was so much more that we were getting overwhelmed. And then what did we do? We said, you know what? I don't care. I want to have the best information, and you and I have done this, right? I will pay a premium to give me the most curated information possible, right? Yeah. That's the age of content curation came into being, content subscriptions. Tony Robbins is a content curator, was a content curator. Mindvalley is a great content curation example. Paid subscription. This was the age from 1990s. It's bleeding out until 2010, I would say, right? Where people were paying a premium for content curation. Now that is a norm. Now people don't pay for content curation. It's like podcasts, the age of content marketing, giving enough value in advance. If you don't do that, you cannot be successful as a business. Nobody's paying for content curation. But look what's happening now. Now people are paying for people curation. Right? Because we are, especially the developed part of the world, we have access to the world right now. We are all global citizens, but we don't belong anywhere. And we don't know how to find people who are like us, who have the shared interests, same pain points, same goals, desires. People are not paying for information curation. Now people are willing to pay a premium for people curation. What is AFES? A $5,000 weekend in personal growth? Right? Because it's incredible. I have attended 5 and I plan to attend the next 15 if they don't change the format so much, which I don't think they will, right? And I love those people. Anywhere around the world I would go, if I see a guy wearing the same t-shirt AFES, I would give them a hug, even if I don't know them. Yeah. That's how powerful this principle is, right? The Summit series is another example that are curating these things. And I think this is the biggest business opportunity for the world as this sense of belonging is getting more and more rare. This currency of belonging is becoming the most valuable currency, the way I look at it. I think people curation, if we don't capitalize on that bandwagon or we don't capitalize on that information, I don't think we are giving enough value to people, because we need to go beyond just curating the best information for people. We need to bring people with the same values, same core belief system, and just bring them together. And to me, it's also a very meaningful pursuit because I enjoy it a lot. Because when these kind of people come together, you're smiling right now thinking, if I tell you AFES parties, I don't need to say anything else. It's so incredible. Like Mindvalley University experiences, these are the experiences that you and I have shared together, right? As part of the same tribe. There's so much fun. Learning is happening at the backdrop, but what is happening even more is peer-to-peer exchange, which is something that we don't talk about. Right, yeah. Not just for emotional connection, but we also learn and grow more by learning from our peers, not as much from stage to audience, right? And this is the common principle in when I talk about sense of belonging, or when I talk about how to create an education, turn your education into a lifelong adventure. This is the common principle: bringing the right people together, bringing the people who have the shared values, interests, goals, desires. Bring them together. Everything blows up.
I love that.
Well, in a nutshell, that's my brain.
I absolutely love that. I want to unpack what interdependence means for those that are tuning in perhaps to that word for the first time.
Okay. You're asking me?
Yeah. What is, in your opinion, what is interdependence? What does interdependence look like for you?
Okay. I think interdependence, there are a few ways I can describe it. One is that, how would I do it? Okay. So as I'm living in more and more nuclear environment, there's this I have more financial success. I have more, like, I can take care of my body. I'm stronger, but I'm just living this individualistic lifestyle. But the thing that actually creates massive fulfillment in my life are if I have people who I can share this with. If I know that there are people who need me, who want, I have a sense of purpose beyond myself, right? So these could be my family members, these could be my friends. And I think this sense of fulfillment comes from connection being there for other people. And not just people who, like, as teachers, like, okay, we want to change people's lives, I want to serve other people. Yes. And I want to feel, we can pin this conversation. I don't think we can help anyone in the world, spiritually speaking. And I will talk about that later. But I think this feeling of being wanted or being needed and being there for the other person, like that is intrinsically, that's deeply embedded in our DNA. Without that, I think this feels off, right? And when I look at as the world is growing into becoming more and more independent, as the developed country especially, and I mentioned before, right? I moved to a few cities in India, then the Philippines, then Malaysia, then Paris, and then I'm moving to Barcelona. And this is a common story, at least for your audience, right? It's not crazy. Like, the world has become safe enough for us to explore our curiosities.
Totally.
Right? And think about this. Right now, this is a common story. I've just mentioned 7 locations to you. I don't know how many places you've been to, probably more than I have, right? And then, but you think about it. 50 years ago, traveling was a poor man's choice. You go back 200 years ago, it was considered dangerous in almost all parts of the world. And that's how we lived for millions of years up until 200 years ago. Right? This is the first time we're all letting go of our geographical anchors. This is great. But the side effect of that is that my family, my parents, my dad, my mom, they have friends from their childhood. That's 60. They have friends from their childhood.
Yep.
Right? I grew up and I thought, my friends from school, these will be my best friends for life. And then suddenly I moved to a different city. My university people, these will be my best friends for life. And then suddenly I moved from there to Philippines. I said, these will be my best friends for life. And then the idea and the definition of best friends also changed, right? Or close friends also changed. It started becoming more and more diluted.
Yeah.
Right. And now I'm in Malaysia, and in Malaysia I had such deep connections. And this time I was aware that this is already happening, and I'm losing connections with a lot of people. And if I want to build a lifestyle where we're living in this new world, and I know for me personally, friendships have saved my life, literally, hands down. Like, so I'm a fanboy of this. I was talking about it all the time. This is why I do the business a certain way that I do. Right? Friendship is the core value to me. Not tribes, not communities. The number one KPI for the membership model that we're building is all our business efforts are going towards every single person in the community. That's the eventual goal. They should have their best friend in the community. And that's what I'm building. And it sounds impossible because the kind of standards that I have for what a best friend means. Most people I know right now, they don't know what a best friend is. Like, best friend means just one, like the one you take a bullet for. Yeah. Right. And this is getting more and more diluted. So I'm trying to solve this problem for myself. And I'm at a privileged situation where I can create a business around it so I can solve it for other people and make money around it by doing the things I really enjoy doing. Right. So to me, the interdependence principle is so very, very powerful. And that means that having people that you want to take care of, you're intrinsically motivated to take care of, and not just teach them, but also also grow with them, because it's not a one way street. It's a two way exchange, right? Yep. And if I have a close group of like 5 to 10 people, and I have these people in my head, I know their names,
yep.
Right? And these are the people. Midterm, what I'm doing is I want to live in a place where we can create a community so that our kids can grow together. So it's a 5-year project, which is when my kids are coming together, right?
Yeah.
And right, so it's like I want my kids to grow up not in an environment where just the parents are making them grow, but it's like a small village that is making them grow, and not just my kids, like Vadim's kids, right? Ronan's kids. These are my friends, right? And then we're all growing our kids together. We are teaching each other. Like all the kids are like, we're all their family. We are their uncles and aunts. And that's a meaningful experience to have. And if you want to take it a notch higher, look at what the founder of Summit Series is doing. His name is Elliot Bisnow, one of the founders. And they just bought, like, you know, Summit Series, right?
Yep.
So now, I think 4 years ago, six years ago, they bought a mountain. They just bought a whole mountain. And he's building a community of socially conscious beings. And they're just selling out properties to people who are deeply socially conscious, not living in isolation, but living in close proximity of each other so they can have deeper connections. And the kind of people who have properties are Elon Musk, Richard Branson, co-founder of PayPal, Hollywood celebrities, and a bunch of people mostly from their tribe.
Mm.
Right? So that's a great utopian vision. And it's one of the things, it's one of the directions I want to take my business towards and take my life towards, because that makes everything else that I will be doing more fulfilling, more rewarding. So interdependence is like having my close friends, growing myself, my family, every aspect of my life with a bunch of people that I feel I'm responsible for their growth. And I can tell for sure that they are responsible for mine. And, you know, we grow together, we play together, and that's deeply fulfilling.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is such a grounded like and real life example of what I really foresee interdependence being. And thank you so much for sharing that. A big thing that I want to tune into, which is a bit hard for me to articulate, but let me try my best to try and get there, is, you know, before the age of the internet, before we had all this interconnectivity via the digital, we were inherently locked into like the immediate environment that we were subject to. Right. So on one hand, yes, we had these amazing tribal networks and connections that we were already a part of. You and I are both from an Indian background. And I clearly remember going back to my mum and dad's family, and they have three layers of a generation of a family living in one house. So we, like, here in the West, like, you live in your mum and dad's house, right? But in India, it'd be you'd live with your grandparents' house. And so all your uncles and aunties would live with you. And then all your cousins would be living with you as well. So you had three generations. Yeah. You had this amazing tribe network in your house. Now, one thing that I totally believe in the strength and the power of that. Like, for me, connection is my highest value. For you, it's friendship. So this is, I totally get why we bond so hard. But the thing is, the one thing that I'm curious about is, I know that the internet has also made it easier for people to find their tribe, you know, because it would have been the case that, you know, when we were isolated in our family network, that perhaps we were the odd one out, you know, or perhaps there was something interesting, like yourself, myself, classic examples, right? We grew up in an Indian culture. We had the choices of, and I think we both put it this way, is engineer, doctor, lawyer, failure. All right. These were our four options.
Yeah.
And both you and I went for like the easiest hard option, which was engineer.
Yeah. That's the only, I don't know what else is there in the world.
Well, you can help people connect and
screw that. What do you mean?
But yeah, so what do you think about, like, you know, on one hand, like, this digital world is help, like, is in some way increasing the amount of disconnection that we experience. But in another hand, it's also helping us find our tribe.
Yes, that is a beautiful point, man. You know what religion used to be? Religion, like, I think this is my opinion. In its purest form, religion back then used to be the school for philosophies. What personal growth industry is right now, that's what religion used to be in the past. It served that purpose. It serves the, you know, religion serves all purposes. It gives you a sense of community, sense of belonging, sense of spirituality, sense of health. You know, like, health is a big, so every single thing is embedded in its story. Right now, what we are doing, even with the personal growth industry, we are empowered to create our own religion. Pick meditation from Zen Buddhism, pick health benefits from do the fasting as people do it in Ramadan, or do it once a week like the Hindus do it, like my mom does it. You know, pick the health benefits from here, pick spirituality from here, pick this from here, pick philosophy from Stoicism, all of these things. Now we have that much, we are empowered, or we have that power, but then this is way too much power as well. Like, for a human being, it could be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Imagine, right? So this is the thing that we will always be dancing between the two. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is what I like. What you just mentioned We were in a family, great community. Every single thing is perfect, right? There's sense of community, sense of belonging. You always know that there will be people taking care of you. But at the same time, maybe you wanna venture out. Maybe you are the odd one out, and there's very little freedom, right? And then what do? We go into the other extreme. I want freedom. I want disconnection. I want to move away from my family. You go all the way to the other end of the spectrum, and they're like, oh, okay, no, but I miss. No, I don't know if anybody would care if I live or die. Anybody would care if I get hurt, or if anybody would care how good or bad I'm doing. Is anybody even proud of me of all the things that I've accomplished? You know, on the other side, and there's always a dance between the two. So, and I also believe as a generation, we're always dancing between the two. So between the two extremes, and so when we are at home, it's pulling us in the other direction. Right, it's pulling us like, if we're anchored too much at home or like too much in this restrictive environment, I want to go away from it. I want to go away from it. And then when we go way too much away from it, we're like, oh no, I want a bit of connection. I want a bit of community. And it's a pendulum between the two. And I think any area of my life I look at, and this is why it's also my next tattoo design idea. I like this dance between the two, between like this crazy, like rigidness of the structure and an absolute freedom, and both, and it's a pendulum. You can't stay at one place for way too long, right? What is needed, though, I think, is more access to more meaningful content. That yes, I have that power to think everything about myself.
Yeah.
What do I think? Right. This is where these podcasts like Inspired Evolution. There's so many companies who are creating remarkable content without any marketing craziness, right? Like Mindvalley is a classic example. It's my home. I love that company. And they put out such meaningful work out in the world, where now the people who are people who have the power, like the at least most of the world that we know, which is like less than half of the world, which has access to internet in the world, right? They all have the power to take control of their life. But then there needs to be some sort of guiding light, some people guiding them through. Okay, you are empowered right now. You have the power. These are the things you can use. And this is how you can use your power to actually influence your life in a positive way. Right? So then what our job becomes is that we need to find those things. We need to find what is the most meaningful way to use this power. Because this power is crazy, man. This is basically the power of the brain right now. Suddenly it's an empty slate. And then we all know that there's crazy companies like Philip Morris, for example. They are right now planning through marketing and advertising how to get your grandchildren to smoke cigarettes. Right now, that's what they're discussing in the marketing meeting, right? Man. And if they get to people first, same with Coca-Cola, same with other companies, I don't think there's somebody evil there, right? But the road
it's
to
just their bottom line is their agenda, paved by good intentions. Yeah. Oh.
Paid by good intention. I love this quote, right? So what our job is, yes, you said finding your tribe has never been easier. I agree. Finding your tribe has never been easier with the access to the internet. It has also never been as important as it is right now because we are on the other end of the spectrum, especially in the world that you and I live in right now. Like if we are living in a developed world, this is the most important thing that we can focus on. If you're running a business, this is the greatest opportunity, right? This is the biggest opportunity. If you provide a platform that allows meaningful connection between people who share the same interest, game over. You're the winner in that industry, like hands down, because this is the new trend. Like what we had with content subscriptions and content curation 20 years ago, now we have with people curation. Whoever plays this game is a win-win. You create that, yes, people would give you money because you're adding so much value to people's lives.
Yeah, a quote that's really resonating for me is, in the past it used to be knowledge is power, and now, over time it's become discernment of knowledge has become power, as it's become more and more challenging to actually discern what is, actually going to resonate for you. So in and around this, you talk about how it's really important to bring people together and how there is so much potential in people curation. Is that basically the philosophy behind Deep Immersions that, like your Life Plug-in Summit, there's all this work around Deep Immersions. Tell us more about Deep Immersions and what that means to you.
Okay, so basically, Deep Immersion is the term that I coined when I was designing this education philosophy. That's the TEDx talk that you mentioned, by the way. So I So when I was preparing that side story, when I was preparing for that, that was my first TEDx talk. I had no idea. Like I was doing some work here and there, but like my video with the highest number of views ever on the internet was 4,000. And then I put out this TEDx talk and I didn't even want to share it because I've, you know, long story, didn't want to share it. And then I shared it with Vishen, and Vishen said, dude, this is amazing. I want to share it on Mindvalley channel. And then what happened was my previous talk ever was like 4,000 views. And this TEDx talk came out and it got 7 million views. There is nothing in between. and the message resonated really, really well. And I'm really grateful for that, right? And this principle of deep immersion was shared in that TEDx talk, which is basically, I believe there's three pillars of education which have never changed, but they've always evolved with the tools and technologies and access to different platforms that we have available today. First one is, the first principle is self-education. These are your books, podcasts, courses, everything that you learn in your own time, right? Mm-hmm. This is part of your self-education. Yep. The second part is your tribe. I think we talked a lot about it so far, like being surrounded by people who have the same values, goals, desires, aspirations, pain points, all of that, right? Where you feel connected to. And the last part is that, so there's self-education, there's your tribes, and the final part is your deep immersions. Now, deep immersions are places, are events, short-term events, where your tribe comes together with who have the same interests. Your tribe comes together for a very short period of time and dive deep into a shared area of interest. For example, for LifePlugin would be, area of interest would be personal transformation. What that does is that in that 2 to 3 day festival, what you do is it creates a lot of aha moments. Ah, okay, new shift of paradigms, right? A lot of, you stir some emotions. So there's like, there's a space when you're surrounded by people that are like you, it creates an environment where you can also go way deeper within and also be more vulnerable. It's much easier. Right, if you engineer that environment really well, so you stir some emotions, you have a lot of fun, and you create a lot of lasting memories. That happens in like 2 to 3 days, right? And these are your these are all your summits, not just LifePlugin Summit, like all the tribe oriented events, like LifePlugin Summit, AFest, Mindvalley U, Summit Series, right? And religion festivals, which I mentioned before, was the oldest example of that, right? So these are what deep immersions do. Their short-term experiences, massive sense of awe, inspiration, aha moments, emotional connection, and you reinforce the connection with the tribe. But here's what's interesting. So I mentioned self-education, your tribe, and deep immersions, right? When we come back from, let's say you and I attended an event, and we attended that event and we had some aha moments. Ah, shit, this is something new I want to learn. This is something new I want to study. This is a new course I want to take. We have these aha moments. And when we come back home, we add it back to our self-education. We start taking those courses, start buying those books, start listening to new podcasts, right? So your deep immersions lead back into your self-education. Your self-education defines what your tribes will be. Your tribes lead you to deep immersion, and that becomes like the wheel of modern education. One feeds into the other, and you can start anywhere. Start with your self-education, or find the tribes that are related to those educational aspects that you're interested in, or join physical immersions. If done right, they are super powerful, right? So this is what deep immersion is, and this philosophy of these three pillars, this is something I wanted to implement into a business format. So what we do in LifePlugin Summit, or LifePlugin as an ecosystem, is that we are focusing on these three aspects of self-education, or curating the tribe. I think the biggest team, we have a team of 15 people in the company right now, including volunteers, part-time employees and stuff. And the biggest chunk, I think I would say safely 70% of it is dedicated towards people curation. We are like handpicking people, reaching out to people one-to-one who we feel could fit in the vibe of the event that we're putting together.
Amazing.
Right? So bringing the right kind of people together and then learning the art of constantly up-leveling our deep immersive experiences. Right? So that's the philosophy I'm trying to implement in the business LifePlugin.
Cool, man. I love that. And I also love the fact that, you know, you've delivered a TED Talk, and one of the key things that came out of it was the biggest roadblock, or biggest, I'm paraphrasing, so I'm butchering some of it, so pardon me for lacking this finesse that you do, is that, you know, there's one of the biggest obstacles to my learning is my education, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I, like, I love that. I love that quote. Yeah. But I'd love to unpack that a little bit more. Is it does that come from, tell me the background to that a little bit more in terms of, is that because of you sharing the same sort of troubles that I have had in terms of being indoctrinated into a whole life as an engineer, you know, going all the way through modern education to becoming an engineer and then realizing actually my service is more about communication and connection and stuff like that. Is that where that's coming from, or is it?
This is an Einstein quote, by the way. So it's coming from Einstein.
I love that.
The thing is, I used to think that it's my problem or I suffered through it. Mm. I think along this journey, and especially from this talk, and I've been invited to share this message around the world, and I realized like this is not like me or you or just a few Indians or like few people growing up in developing countries or people in developed countries don't face that. It's just the system that we haven't upgraded since more than 100 years ago.
Yep.
And it was designed to, our education system, the standardized education system was designed in the age of standardization, in the industrial age. and we have to look at the purpose of education, right? The purpose, in my opinion, of education is to help prepare you for the external world so that you can create a meaningful and successful life for yourself in the external world.
Whatever in the form of a white-collar job.
No, whatever that might mean for you,
yep.
Right? 50 years ago, 60 years ago, like literally, you study something for 4 years and then the things don't change as fast that you can use that same information, that slight upgradation and learning and growing a little bit more, and you can live like a 40-year life just by that information.
On that skill set, yeah.
Yes, and that's the age of standardization or white-collar jobs. And our parents grew up there, right? So we talk about how our parents force us to get an engineering degree or a doctor's degree. Every parent wants the best for their kids.
Of course.
And the best for their kids, like according to, you have to think what they are thinking in their mind is what they experienced when they were growing up. The best way to ensure a successful life is by getting a really successful degree in one of the top three careers that our Indian parents are, doctor, lawyer, engineer, right? And that's why they were forcing us so that we can lead a successful life. But this is what we need to understand. And I don't even know how I will educate my kids because it's going crazy, right? We are at the beginning of the exponential curve of how fast information is changing, right? And right now, what we need to realize is that the reason why my education is interfering in my learning is because I need to learn in the information age. We don't live in the age of standardization. We live in the age of customization, and everybody can teach themselves. Again, the same point of we have way too much power that can be overwhelming, right? If some things are done for you, it's great. Religion was a done for you solution. Maybe 100 years ago, it helped everyone in the world, right?
Yeah.
Now it's becoming more and more dogmatic or outdated, but it still has a lot of these principles that we can learn from. But it's the same thing here. Like education, there was a system that was a done-for-you solution. Now, we have to find our own customized education, right? This is extremely empowering if you have a framework and kind of a guiding light or some supportive community to guide you through this, and extremely overwhelming and disempowering if you don't know what to do. I was growing up, my parents said, I was lucky. They said, do whatever you want to. I was like, oh my God, what does that mean now? I don't know what I want to do. I didn't figure. And in my society, like everybody was doing doctor, engineer, lawyers, because I grew up in India, right? Mm. But my parents said, yeah, do whatever you want to. Whatever you want to do, just go become best at it. That's the message I remember listening to my entire life. But this was a lot of power, but I didn't know how to use that power.
Mm.
Right. So when we live in the age of customization, this is why, again, the principle of interdependence. If I was just independent, I would be like, okay, I can be whatever I want to be. Okay, Gautam, answer, what do you want to be? That's it. That's the end of the conversation with myself. Mm. I don't know. Right. I have to discover what are the things I can add value to, what are the things I'm actually good at, and that all of those things I learn in a social context, in a social network. Right? What are the things I'm actually naturally good at? What are the things I'm adding more value to my social community? Again, the aspect of us being social animals. So like, yes, we do have a lot of power, but what we do need right now is how to utilize that power in the most productive way. So there needs to be a lot more consciousness put into this subject, because now nobody else is designing my education. I am designing it.
Yep.
Right. So that's it.
I love that. I totally agree with that. And the whole like exponential growth for technology can completely be mapped. And, you know, it's really fascinating exactly what you shared, like what that means for education, you know, and I'm completely in awe of just having this podcast here, like having these interviews, having these conversations every week. I get to have, like, this is my school, you know, this is legitimately right. How I look at it, you know. Rarely do I position myself as an expert. I'm just a perpetual student, you know, so here to learn, here to grow, here to evolve. Before I'm conscious of your time and energy, I want to find out, like, are there some takeaways for those that are tuning in that can take away? How would you, I wouldn't say hack connection because I don't want connection to be hacked. Mm-hmm. I think connection is something that's really pure and beautiful.
Yeah.
And I know that it can be as simple as just picking up the phone and like setting a lunch date with someone that you love. But what would you recommend in terms of finding a tribe or the deep immersions, or, you know, there's a whole chat we can have afterwards that I'm holding on to around service, which I'm really excited to chat to you about.
Okay.
But what would you recommend in terms of how do you find like establishing connection where it may be lacking in someone's life?
Yeah. So I wouldn't use the word hack either. I think to me connections are sacred, but I would start, and this is where I think I got lucky. So I would look back in my own, like, what are the unconsciously taken steps from my past, which may be of some value. The first one is literally look around. Anything that you're studying that is empowering you, especially in the personal growth space, that's the easiest one right now.
Mm.
Is look around, like all the company, there's a bunch that I can be, you and I can, between you and I, in the next 30 seconds, we can name 100 companies very fast. there's enough people who are trying to add value outside. Look at the one that speaks to you the most.
Mm-hmm.
And chances are, if you like 10, chances are one or two out of those 10 companies are creating something really meaningful in the transformational space.
Yep.
Right. So like I wouldn't even sell my company first. I would sell the company that actually changed my life first, right? Mm-hmm. Mind Valley.
Yeah.
Right? Mind Valley. Go join one of Mind Valley's events. If you are in India, or if you're in the Indian subcontinent, or if what I'm speaking speaks with some of your audience members, come join Life Plugin Summit. Mm-hmm. Right? Or join Summit Series if you're in the United States. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Right? Find events, find ecosystems that you think speak the same vibe as you, mm-hmm. speak the same language as you, and see when is the next physical meeting is happening. And if you are socially a bit awkward and so it feels a bit outside your comfort zone, then it's a must for you to do it.
I love that. That was the hack, by the way.
it's just flipping the switch. It doesn't matter. You can just go at that event, sit in the corner, just look and observe everybody else. But just being in that energy will be very, very, very meaningful.
Yeah.
Right? That's my way. It's not hacking connection, just finding new friends. And what these events do, especially for the area of your interest, right? The area of your interest will be naturally something that you'll have something to talk about.
Absolutely.
If not to speak about, but something to ask about because you're curious. Right? Yeah. What that does, the events in personal growth or any other area, could be join an event on programming or join an event on blogging or on music, anything. Mm-hmm. If you join the content that the event is talking about serves as a backdrop for you to have conversation around that. Right. So it's just if the events are good, they engineer experiences so that these conversations become easier. They engineer experiences so that this social inhibition, you can break through easily.
Mm.
Right. So good events do it exceptionally well. So you don't have to think about it. Right. So that's where I would start. Right. Or join local meetups in your own city. There's companies like Internation. There's companies like Couchsurfers. And there's many companies that bring international communities together who just want to hang out, talk about something of shared interest. And there's many companies like that. So join one of those random meetups and start. Like this is where I would start. This is how I stumbled upon it. And if I have to look back and recommend this to someone, I would say, yes, find your tribe. How do you do it? By simple Google search.
Awesome. Awesome. That kind of leans into my next question. I'm afraid they might bleed into each other completely, but what would you recommend in terms of staying like up to date with your own personal education?
Well, that's very unique to everyone because each person's personal education is very, very unique, right? So, for me,
tell us what it looks like for you then. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So I follow a few podcasts. And I follow in every month I would read at least two books. And those books refer me to different links, different podcasts, different courses. So that's how it expands. I attend 4 to 5 different deep immersions in a year. Two of them I create now, and two of them are external. So like once every quarter, I have that checkpoint where I'm reinforcing connection with my tribe and also getting a lot of aha moments about the new things that I would like to learn about the areas that I'm already interested in. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So for example, I'm interested in personal growth. I run 2 personal growth festivals in a year, but then I also attend an external personal growth festival, which is like the last one that we attended in Croatia. And then from there, I met incredible new teachers that I had little information about. I got introduced to new disciplines in personal transformation. I said, okay, those are the things I want to learn. So what I do is these are physical events that I like to join. And then I just make notes of the new thing that I want to learn. And I just add them to my list. I read 2 to 3 books in a month. And I'm constantly on the go with like audiobooks and podcasts. And there's a few podcasts and my podcast list keeps on expanding. So does my book, right? It's just the more I'm in the space with people or the more I'm in the environment of my interests, with people with this, who share the same interests, the more my reading list, my learning list keeps on expanding. It never shrinks.
Yep.
And every 6 months I pick a different goal and that's a bigger goal and everything else becomes secondary. And that's the one I focus heavily on. That's just my personal process. So for the last 4 months, and I do it in between my two festivals. Right. So I commit at the last festival and do commit socially to my tribe. So I use the principle of tribe dynamics for my own learning. And then so last time I committed to do a total health transformation and get to a ripped body shape. So I'm studying a lot about nutrition, like everything about nutrition, biohacking, and then updating all my information about peak performance and how to, how to train better, how to sleep better, all of those things. So I focused on that more. So I have more books, more podcasts, more interviews with people to ask these questions. So one is a primary goal and then it keeps on expanding like this.
Awesome, brother. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, I've really been itching to ask you this question now. So the last little bit is centered on service, right? And I think more specifically, like I think we both understand that, service is something that is, it's the most beautiful way to walk in life. If you really have to do business, why not find your service? Because then you can actually align your spiritual self with your business self and completely be living a life in harmony with, just that grace that is afforded through that space. But the question that I have for you specifically is pertaining to that. You could have gone into business around education. And in some ways, yes, you are in business around personal transformation. But it seems like you're in business more around facilitating connection. When it came to choosing what your service looked like, how did you go through that process and what did it look like and how did you land where you are?
There's a bunch of things that I need to address. First is, can you hear me?
Yeah, totally.
Right. Okay. So the first is that, when I think of, am I in the business of serving connections? I think it's not the primary business, but that's the secret sauce of the success for my business.
Sure.
And I think that's and there's a slight distinction because I don't think, and there's a few companies who do that, and I feel icky. Right now, the word community and tribe is also getting bastardized in the world. Where everybody's talking about our communities, our tribe, So I think it's extremely meaningful, but you can't sell it. Because, especially for
it's not meant to be
events,
sold, it's innate, and it's,
people come for a personal gain, and then they stay for how much value I got with these people. These are my guys. These are the ones I want to meet everywhere. Right. Yeah. So essentially in the business that I'm in specifically that you asked, people come for the content and people come for the self-transformation and then they stay for the tribe.
Right.
Right? So, and how did I come up to that? You said this, We're in the business of service, right? Can you repeat the second aspect of the question?
Yeah, so the question was basically you could have chosen to serve in education or in connection, and you basically answered it in that, you know, you do serve education, but connection is a key takeaway.
Yeah, yes, I think for any business, and this is a big business opportunity for anyone who's running a business in regardless of anything, right? Regardless of any, like specifically if you're doing any kind of education, it could be personal education, business education, transformation, anything, right? This is the secret sauce. And the companies that do this, nail this right now, will be like the big boys of the business industry in the next 5 years. Because this is the thing that at least in through the lens through which I view reality around me, this is the biggest missing element. And it just makes everything so much more fun. I want to do seminars. Yes, I want to see. I love teaching, right? So I want to go and build a business around teaching. But I want to spend time with those people. It's just not a stage to audience relationship. I want to get off stage and still spend time with them. I want to be off stage and still be invested in their learning and growth. And I want them to be invested in mine, right? So it's just more. It just becomes a more meaningful pursuit. And so this way, I've also noticed you end up creating more leaders and more friends in your community just by accident, because you're personally invested in not just it's not a one-to-many relationship. It's many-to-many relationship. Everybody's pushing everybody else to grow, and one person who studied an aspect a bit more is just the guy who's teaching this on stage, but he can learn from all the other people in the room, right? So. That's the principle I enjoy. I think it's super, super useful for any business that is starting right now to build a real, like a true community, and not use the word community just for the sake of it online.
Yeah. Really appreciate you helping us unpack what it is that you see for, you know, LifePlug and Summit, and really what drove the intentions of bringing all that together. I think that's really powerful for people that want to create something in their life that is similar, that is based on education and connection. So for those that want to tune into Gotham more and again and again and again and then again, there's plenty of YouTube content that you can tune into. There's TED Talks. What is the best place that if I wanted to reach out to you, that we could reach out to you?
Okay. If you want to reach out to me, so you can go on my website, GothamKidsRapal.com. Yeah, that's where all the information about me. And if you're interested in working specifically with me for experience designing, coaching, or keynote speaking, whatever, or if you just want to read information, all of that is there. If you're interested in the festivals that I create, it's Life Plugin, LIFE plugin, like the internet plugin, PLUGIN. So lifeplugin.com, all the information will be there. And same, my Instagram handle is the same as my name. So you can find me there as well.
Awesome. I love that. And so for my very last question, and by no means my least question, brother, beyond the name, beyond the summit, beyond the friendships, beyond the connection, it's esoteric in its nature. Who are you?
Okay. So can you hear me? Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Every single thing that happens in my life, every single thing I'm doing in my life is purely an expression of gratitude to the universe. That's what it is.
Thank you for sharing, bro. It has been such a pleasure to have you on here today. And I just want to thank you for your time and energy today, but not just today. Also, you know, all the work you've put in on yourself, and all the, you know, I know, like setting up your own businesses, creating your own, you know, like ventures, stepping up, showing up in the world, sharing yourself so openly has its challenges. I just want to thank you and acknowledge you for all of the work that you've put into yourself, and just wishing you all the best for the future too, brother.
Thank you so much, man. It's such a pleasure to have this conversation with you as well. We've spoken so many times at so many different events that we've met at. I think this was, I heard about your podcast and how amazing work that you've been putting out. So it's an honor for me to have this, share this conversation with you as well. So thank you for having me.
Big love, bro.
Hey tribe, thanks for tuning in to another fun, enlightening episode of The Inspired Evolution. I've been loving all the feedback and personal stories of love, health and growth. Your feedback and stories are incredibly welcome. The easiest way to connect with me is via my website, which is www.amrit-sandhu.com. You can leave me a message or a comment. It's one of my highest values to connect, so I love to connect and love to hear from you. You can also find me on Facebook, Amrit Sandhu. And if the content has been resonating with you, you can help the Inspired Evolution out in a big way by liking the YouTube channel, subscribing to the Inspired Evolution, or the Facebook page, like that please, at the Inspired Evolution, or by leaving a review on iTunes if you're on an Apple device. And also, if the Inspired Evolution episodes are inspiring an evolution within you, or you can feel the inspiration is valuable for your team to evolve to the next level, you can head on over to www.amrit-sandhu.com to see how the Inspired Evolution can help you and your team thrive. Much love, tribe.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.